Doing the Rambam in the introduction to the 10th chapter in Sanhedrin, the Rambam's famous introduction to Perek Chelek. We had two classes last week on the Rambam, and we'll remind ourselves what we saw. The Rambam had said that there is great confusion regarding the terms Olam Haba, Tchiyat HaMeitim, Yemot HaMashiach, Gan Eden. The Rambam said people quote these things and they don't know what each of them is. And the Rambam showed us different opinions that people have about what each one is. What is Tchiyat HaMeitim? What is Gan Eden? What is Olam Haba? What is Yemot HaMashiach? And the Rambam said people really don't know. And people don't bother talking about it because they're more interested in discussing questions like, will people come back with the same clothing or will they come back with different clothing? Everyone's interested in all kinds of silly questions. But what is Tchiyat HaMeitim? What is all these things? People don't begin to know. And the Rambam had said that in order to understand, he's going to give us a mashal. And the Rambam said, for example, when you have a kid and you want to teach him Torah, so you don't tell him, look, Torah is the most valuable thing, it's the best way to go, Hashem told us to do this. You tell a child, learn Torah, I'll give you candy. You ask the kid, why is he learning Torah? He says, because he wants the candy. We know that the main purpose of the Torah is not for the candy. But, says the Rambam, that's a very high level. Even as a person matures, he's always given incentives for his learning. A person is told, learn so that you'll get a good suit, and then afterwards he's told, learn so that you'll become a rabbi, and then afterwards he's told, learn so you'll become a dayan. All along the path, a person always needs external incentives. Not because the Torah isn't valuable, but because we aren't on a high enough level to appreciate the value of the Torah, and therefore we need external incentives. But, says the Rambam, in truth, the greatest value is the value of the Torah. And we're holding in the Rambam. Yeah.
But in response to Yosef Ben Sofo, who said, you serve your master not for the sake of a cross, because he said that it led to his students, because they misunderstood, his students misunderstood that it got to lead them astray, because the idea that there is no reward.
Oh, so we said that, we said last week, that really we see from the fact that the conclusion in Pirkei Avot seems to be, Chachamim Yizahru B'divreichem, that Mishnah, our sages taught us, is coming in response to the Mishnah that said that a person initially, we had the teaching in the very beginning of Pirkei Avot, don't do mitzvahs for the sake of Olam Haba. And then the two students, Tzadok and Baitus, they said, why shouldn't we do it for the sake of Olam Haba? Must be there's no reward. And they went out and they said, we're not keeping the ways of the tradition, we're not accepting what Chazal said, we're only doing what we understand in the Torah. They didn't accept Torah Shebal Peh, meaning that these students couldn't accept the concept of doing something in Lishma. They had a problem with that. And we said, if Tanaim, their disciples, could not be on the level to hear that learning Torah should be done just for the sake of Lishma and the performance of the mitzvos, they needed to have some kind of external incentive that shows us that even people on a very high level still need an external incentive. Now, some guys here had a very hard time with that. They said, how come everyone needs external incentives? And after the class, we discussed that external incentives aren't always in the form of something that's tangible. Sometimes the external incentive is you'll feel good with yourself. People will say you're a good person. That's also an external incentive. But at the end of the day, it's very, very hard and almost impossible for a person, at least in the beginning, to attain the level that he's doing something really lishma. To do something for the sake of Hashem said so, and I love Hashem and I'm doing it, that's the ideal. We aspire to it and we have to get there. But it's a long road. It's not easy. We're holding page Kuf Lamed Hei, the top of the second column. V'kvar hizhirunu chachamim gam al zeh. Our sages already warned us about this as well. Everyone has it? Page Kuf Lamed Hei, the top of the second column. By you, that should be the second page of the last column. וכבר הזהירונו חכמים גם על זה. Our sages already for... מה ספר?
לא.
התאינה? לא, אנחנו לא אוכלים תאינים הבוקר. No, he wants a fig. He's not allowed to eat fig. וכבר הזהירונו חכמים גם על זה. Our sages already warned us about this. כלומר, שלא ישים האדם תכלית עבודתו וקיומו limitzvot, ezet davar min advarim. Our sages warned us that a person should not make the purpose of his service of Hashem and his performance of mitzvot something external. Vehu ma'amar ha-chassid ha-shalem, and that's what the complete chassid said, masig ha-emet, the person who attained truth, meaning in the eternal sense, antignos ish socho, Antigone, who was the important person of the city of Socho, he said, "Al tiyucha avadim amshamshin et harav al menat lekabel pras." Don't be like servants who serve the master for the sake of getting a reward. Ela yucha avadim amshamshin et harav shelo al menat lekabel pras. But rather be like servants who serve the master not for the sake of the reward. Veratzu bechach, and what they meant to say with this, lehamin baemet leetzim haemet, to believe in the truth for the sake of the truth. Vezeu ha'inyan shekorin oto oved ma'ava. This, says the Rambam, is a person who serves Hashem out of ahava. V'amru aleihem ha'shalom b'mitzvotav chafetz me'od. Our sages said on the pasuk that it says in Tehillim, a person should be on the level, he is a tzaddik, that is, b'mitzvotav chafetz me'od. He wants the mitzvot very much. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar explained to us, what does that mean? B'mitzvotav. The pasuk is coming to stress a person should want the mitzvot, v'lo bischar mitzvotav. A person should not be on the level that he wants the sechal for the mitzvot. Now we know that this is a very hard level to attain. The Braita says in Avot Rabbi Natan that one time Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, I think it was, had a student who went to Chutzlaretz and made a lot of money. And his other students were all jealous. They're all speaking about how this guy came back and he has a lot of money. In our days they talk about his new car and his house. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said, Banai, you want, I'll give you as well. So he took them out to hilltop, the Medrash says, and he showed them out of the hilltop. They looked out and suddenly they saw that there were many jewels and gems in outside in front of them. So they were ready to go and take some. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said, you want to take it, but you should know you're taking from your portion in the world to come. So they all held back. So we see that even his students were on a level that they had a hard time learning for the sake of the mitzvot. That's why the pasuk in Tehillim is stressing b'mitzvotav chafetz mo'od. The person should be on a level where he wants the mitzvot very much. And Rabbi Elazar says this pasuk is coming to stress a person should want the mitzvot and not the sechar of the mitzvot. V'kama gdola ra'aya zu v'kama bruhai. And how great is this proof? How clear is this proof? Shezu ra'aya bruha al ma shekdamnu bidvareinu. That this is a clear proof for what we have introduced in our words. So when the Rambam says a line like this, we have to know that it means the Rambam is contending with someone. The Rambam's coming to say, what I just said I've proven, and the reason the Rambam has to prove it is because he's obviously contending with someone who has said differently. The Yoter Gadol Mize Omram Bilshon Sifri. And furthermore, we find they said in the Sifri is the Medrash Halacha on Vayikra, Shema Tomar, maybe a person will say, Hareini lomed Torah b'shvil sheyeh asher. I'll learn Torah so I'll be wealthy. B'shvil shekarei Rebbe. I'll learn Torah so that people will call me Rabbi. B'shvil shekabel sechar b'olam haba. I'll learn Torah so I'll get rewards in the world to come. Talmud lomar la'avat Hashem. That's why the Pasuk tells us, perform the mitzvahs for the sake of the love of Hashem. Kol shatem osim lo tasu lema'ava. Whatever you do, you should do out of love. What does it mean to do something out of love? So we discussed that the word ahava, some say, comes from the root of hav. Hav in Aramaic means to give. Ahava is the act of giving. When one loves, then one wants to give. You'll notice that when guys are dating and they're close to the engagement period, they want to start buying the girl gifts. Once they get engaged till the wedding, they want to buy gifts. Why? It's not because they want her to do something back. It's because they love the person. They're starting to feel for the person and they want to give the person. True love is that you want to give because of who you appreciate the other person or who Hashem is. So the pasuk is stressing, perform the mitzvot, la'ava et Hashem, because you love Hashem and you want to, so to speak, give to Hashem. Whatever you do, do out of love. Hinei nitbeel ze ha'inyan. The Rambam says this point has been clarified. V'nitbarer shu matrat ha'mitzvot v'yisod emunat chachamim. And it's been clarified that this is the purpose of the mitzvot, and it is the foundation of the belief in chachamim. This line needs explanation. What does it mean this is the yisod emunat chachamim? This is the foundation of the belief in our sages.
was a statement against the Karaim, no?
What do you mean?
Well, one of the main things that the Rambam had to contend with in his life was when he moved to Fostat, I believe, there was a large contingent of Karaim there. And so he had to deal with their heretical beliefs. One of their beliefs is, and similar to the Sadukim, who we mentioned not a few minutes ago, they similarly believe that it's only written Torah. There's no oral Torah.
What does that have to do with this?
So that I don't know.
Okay. ולא יתעלם ממנו, אלא שחל ופתי, אשר כבר השחיתוהו הזיות, הדעות, השגעוניות והדמיוניות הגרועות. And no one can overlook this, only a fool, someone who's already been misled and been what's the word when you have a dishonest lawyer? Dishonest judge is mushchat. How do you say it in English?
Perjured.
What?
Perjured.
Corrupt. Right. Someone who's been corrupted with the fantasies and the thoughts that are crazy. The Rambam says hashigoniyot v'adimyoniyot, and they stem from his imagination. People want to believe all kinds of things. People have in their imagination all kinds of things. They think that the purpose of performing mitzvot is that I'll eat a lot of food in Olam Haba. I'll get a lot of things in Gan Eden. People develop all kinds of thoughts about how wonderful it'll be in the world to come, and that's why they want to perform the mitzvot. The Rambam says that stems from foolishness and from their imagination. The purpose of the mitzvot is love Hashem, and do it for the sake that you love Hashem. Doesn't mean there won't be a merit in the world to come, but don't do it for that. V'zohi ma'alat Avraham Avinu shaya oved ma'avad. This is the great level of Avraham who served Hashem out of love. Ve'ladeir chazo chova lishof. And to this path, a person is obligated to aspire. Notice the Rambam is saying this is the great level of Avraham. It's not a level that every person has attained. And it's a level that we're supposed to aspire to. It's interesting. When I was teaching in the United States, so in the United States, they ask kids to give tzedakah. To collect money for tzedakah organizations. And depending on how much money you collect, you get different prizes. You bring in $50, you could get a flashlight. You collect $100, you could get a toy car. All kinds of things. They give you a list to encourage the kids to collect money. And my parents always told me that this is an American concept, that what's in it for me? You do tzedakah, do it because you have to help the other person. The person needs help, you help, not because you're going to get a prize. And my parents would never let me participate in this. They always said, you have to help people for the sake of helping people. You want a prize, we'll go buy you a prize. You're not performing mitzvot for the sake of the prize. So when I started teaching, I implemented this. I came to a class of eighth graders that no one wanted to teach. The school didn't have any teacher that wanted to teach them. I said, I'm willing to try. So I was young, and I needed a job. So when I came to the class, I told them I want to take them to a soup kitchen to help prepare food for the poor. So the first question I asked was, what's in it for me? What are we going to get out of it? So I said, nothing. Whoever doesn't want doesn't come. Whoever wants comes. We're performing a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to help the poor. And they thought for a second. They said, yeah, they all came. Not only did they come, they always begged to go back. I took them more than once. They always wanted to go back. And I think that we underestimate our potential. The Rambam tells us we should aspire to do things for the sake of the love of Hashem. So on the one hand, we've spent the last few minutes explaining how difficult this is. But on the other hand, we have to know that if we aspire to it, then sometimes we will do it. The Hasidim like to say that mitzvot, we think of mitzvot as tzivui, commandment. The Hasidim like to say that the Sachchav Rebbe, I think, the Avnei Nezer is the one that said it, that mitzvah could also be understood from the word tzavta. Tzavta means to be together. When two are together, that's called they are b'tzavta. So mitzvot are what put us together with Hashem. We discussed that the bracha we make on mitzvot, every time we say Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvotav, Hashem, one understanding is made us holy through the mitzvot. The mitzvot give holiness to the Jewish people. But there's another understanding that Kiddushanu is like Lashon Kiddushin. Our engagement with Hashem is the mitzvot. That's our connection with Hashem. So mitzvot don't have to be seen as necessarily, this is what Hashem told me to do, it's what I have to do. But rather, they're my connection to Hashem. The Rambam is saying that a person has to aspire to perform the mitzvot out of love. ולפי שידעו חכמים עליהם השלום, and because our sages knew, שעניין זה קשה מאוד, that this is very difficult, ואין כל אדם יכול להשיגו, not every person can attain this level, ואם ישיגנו, לא יישאר בעיניו בעיון ראשון, and even if a person understands this point, at first glance, this won't seem right to him, ולא יראה לו שהוא דעת אמיתית, and a person won't think this is the truth, at first glance, לפי שדרכו של האדם, לא יעשה מעשה אלא להשיג בו תועלת, or למנוע נזק, because our tendency is, initially we don't do things unless we're going to gain something from it, or we'll gain that, what? Well, or we shouldn't lose, right. ואם לא, הרי יהיו מעשיו לבטלה. If a person doesn't do things for that sake, then he's doing things for nothing. ואיך אפשר לומר לתורני, עשה מעשים אלו, ואל תעשם, לא מיראת עונש השם, ולא לתקוות גמולו. How can you tell a person he wants to obey the Torah? You tell him, do what the Torah says, and don't do them because you fear Hashem, and don't do them because you'll get something. So then why should I do them? If I'm not going to gain anything, and it's not because I'm scared of a punishment, so why am I doing the mitzvot? So, זה קשה מאוד, that's very difficult. לפי שאין כל בני אדם משיגין האמת, not every person could attain the truth, ויהיו כמו אברהם אבינו, to be on the level of אברהם אבינו. There are people who attained it. There are even goyim who attained it. There was a famous Greek slave whose master was a sadist, and his master wanted to see how intelligent he was, and he was very, very smart. We have some of his philosophical works. I forgot his name. So one day his master took him, threw him on the floor, took his foot and started bending it. And he started breaking his foot. So the slave was lying there on the floor in pain, and he looked at his master and he said, if you keep bending it, it will break. And he kept bending it. He said, if you keep bending it, it will break. It's about to break. And then it broke. And the slave didn't say anything other than that. That's a person who could take mind over matter. I don't know many people who could do that. I wouldn't want to be put to the test. The Rambam says, there are people who could do things because that's the truth. To connect with the truth, to be able to look on at something completely logically, not everyone could do that. But there are people who could do that. There are people who could look on even when it's their foot that's being broken and say, it's being broken. On contradistinction, the Gemara says that there was an Amora who had to have his leg cut off, and he was a Kohen. So his son was there to give him strength. And as his leg is being amputated, he told his son, in a second they're going to cut the last strand off my leg. And the limb that's taken off from a person is Tameh. You're a Kohen, so get out of the room. When they were down to the last strand, he felt it. He said, wait, don't cut that yet. He told his son, now leave the house. There are people who could do that. They could be mind over matter. Says the Rambam, we have to aspire to that. At least in our performance of mitzvot, we're not put to these tests. But it's hard. Not everyone could attain the truth like Avram. ולכן התירו להמון שישארו כפי דעתם לעשות הטוב לתקוות הגמול. And that's why the Rambam says, our sages allowed the masses to continue performing mitzvot because they're focused on their payback. The Rambam didn't say there won't be a payback, but the Rambam said one should not be focused on the payback. The Rambam says the masses need to perform mitzvot because they're focused on the payback. We can't expect them to be otherwise. V'litrachek min ha'ra'ot me'irat ha'onesh. People have to perform mitzvot because they're scared. They hear the midrash and the midrash says hell is a burning place, worse than the worst fire. So people are focused on, I don't want to get burnt. I don't like getting burnt. So people are told all these stories about Gehenim and Gan Eden because that they have to work out of this focus. ומעודדים אותם על כך, and Chazal also encouraged people with these stories, ומחזקים מחשבתם בו, and they strengthen people's belief in it. עד שישיג המשיג וידע את האמת, till a person attains the level where he could understand and know the truth. והדרך המושלמת, מהי? And a person can eventually, we just turned the page to page Kuf Lamed Vav, what is the proper way? כדרך שאנו עושים לנער, the same way when you have a child, the way you teach him בזמן הלימוד, כפי המשל שהקדמנו, like the mashal that the Rambam gave, when a child starts learning, you have to give him external incentive. You give him carrots. V'ekpidu al Antigonus ish Socha. Our sages were upset at Antigone, the important man of Socha, for what he said, ha-shepirsem ba'amon, that he advertised ma-shepirsem, that which he advertised. V'amru b'kach hachamim, and our sages rebuked him in Pirkei Avos, and they said, hachamim izaharu b'divrechem. Sages, be careful what you say. Don't tell everyone this. Most people can't live up to this level. So you ask yourselves, why are we learning this? Ah, good question. Kamoshin eva'el ba'avot. אתה צריך לאכול עצה. אתה רוצה את גני בוקר? אתה רוצה עוד קונפלקס? עוד לא.
Thank you.
אתה רוצה עוד קונפלקס? עוד לא הוגיע. אוקיי. עוד רגע ניקח עוד קונפלקס שנגע הבית ונוכל הוגיע. בסדר? בבית, לא פה. ואין ההמון מפסידים לגמרי, and the masses don't lose completely ביותם מקיימים את המצוות מהירת העונש ותקוות השכר. When the masses perform מצוות because they're scared of punishment or because they expect to get good payback, they haven't lost completely, אלא שאינם שלמים, they aren't whole. Okay, so they aren't whole. אבל מוטב להם בכך, it's better this way, says the Rambam, כדי שתקנה להם תכונה והכשרה לקיום התורה. We want people to perform the mitzvot. And at least, if a person isn't performing it in the ideal sense, they'll perform it this way. ויעברו על האמת, so they won't be truthful, ויהיו עובדים מאהבה, slowly they'll go to the true way, and they'll serve Hashem out of love. והוא אומרם עליהם שלום, לעולם יעסוק אדם תורה אפילו שלא לשמה, שמתוך שלא לשמה בא לשמה. Our sages said a person should perform Torah even if his initial performance is not lishma. Do it. Lo'olam. The Hasidim always say, you should lo'olam yasok adam Torah shelo lishma. You should always try to do Torah shelo lishma. You always have to start out that way. Think for yourself. What do I gain? I remember when I came to yeshiva 10 years ago, so I wanted to encourage myself. So there was a type of ragalach I liked to eat. So I told myself, you're not buying yourself ragalach till you finish this chapter. So that was encouragement. So I gave myself a carrot. Our sages say, do that. Work with carrots. Begin by working shelo lishma. And then from that you'll come to lishma. Initially you have to perform shelo lishma. And we could understand this on a deeper level. That on the one hand, Hashem wants the mitzvot to be performed in the ideal sense. When one takes off truma, so one has to make a blessing. Let's say a person is deaf. And he won't hear his blessing. He says the blessing on the taking off of truma, but he won't hear it. So then the halacha is that we tell him, better give someone else to take off the truma. Even though it's his own grain, it's his grain. He owns it. So he has the mitzvah to take off trumot and masot. We say, being that he will not be able to perform the mitzvah in the ideal sense, so there's a halacha that says, we want empirically that mitzvot be performed in the ideal fashion. Not only that you perform a mitzvah, but there's an attitude that Jews have to want mitzvot to be performed in the ideal way. So if you can't perform this mitzvah in the ideal way and someone else could, and neither you do it or he does it, so the halacha says that the cheresh should give his own grain to someone else. Let's say the cheresh takes off his own tuma, so then it's kosher. It's only the chatchila. Only ideally does he have to hear the blessing. If he didn't hear the blessing, it's still kosher. If he didn't make the blessing, he could take off tuma. It's not nekev. Even if he didn't make the blessing, it's still good truma. But ideally, he should hear the blessing. So we see on the one hand that halachically, we always have a preference that mitzvot be performed in the ideal sense. But there's also the aspect where we say mitzvot are purifying. When a person gets into the habit of performing mitzvot, even in a way that he's not performing them in the ideal way, still it's going to purify him. That in and of itself will bring him to do things the right way. That's why people give incentives. That's why sometimes you have to give breakfast in a class. You guys have to... we all need incentives. Mitzvah. So, what?
Mitzvah goes mitzvah.
Right? Mitzvah goes mitzvah. That's another way that we say that the mitzvot will bring us to doing things the right way. So we start off, so we do it on one level. Ultimately, we'll reach a level where we could do it a different way. וממה שאתה צריך לדעת, from what you need to know, שדברי חכמים עליהם שלום נחלקו בהם בני אדם לשלוש כיתות. The Rambam is now going to give us a lesson for life. The Rambam says there are three types of people when it comes to hearing what our sages say. And it's interesting that the Rambam wrote his Perusha Mishnayos when he was 19. The Rambam compiled this in Arabic when he was a little kid. He was a teenager. And the Rambam compiled this. The Mishneh Torah took him years. He did it years in hiding. Some of the years he didn't see a single soul. He had to make believe he was dead. He went into hiding and he spread rumors that he was dead because the aristocracy wanted him dead. So he spread rumors that he had died and he went in hiding. He went into a room and he spent months where no one saw him. They would just bring him food. No one knew he was alive, and that's where he wrote the Mishneh Torah. But I don't remember where it was. But this was done when he was young. He was 19 years old. And yet we're going to see the Rambam's wisdom, and now nothing changed. The Rambam now is going to tell us there are three types of people when you try to tell them what Chazal say. Hakat Rishona, the first group, the Hem Rov, Asher Nifgashti Mehem, there are the majority of the people I've encountered, says the Rambam. V'asher Reiti Chiburim, there are the majority of people who I've read their compilations, V'asher Shamati Alehem, and that I've heard that these people exist. The majority of people, Mevinim Otam Kipshatam, when they read what Chazal say, they understand it literally. They don't add any explanation. If our sages say something, that's what it means literally. If there's a Gemara that says, Rabbi Bar Bachana tells a story, he was traveling on a ship, and they got off on an island, and suddenly on the island, they noticed that the island was this huge fish, they're all walking around the island, so people understand it literally. There's this huge fish in the sea that's so big that you could traverse it, you could travel it for days, and that's the huge fish that takes up the sea. So the Rambam says, the majority of people, they read what Chazal say, they understand it literally. Things that logic says are impossible, they say that must be so. If our sages say it's so, that's the way it is. No two ways about it. For example, you ask a person, why is there lightning? They tell you because two clouds collide. It's true, the Gemara does say that there's lightning because two clouds collide. But we have to understand what the Gemara means by that. You look at the clouds, you see clouds colliding all the time. You see it every day and you don't see lightning. So what does it mean that lightning is whenever two clouds collide? But most people, they read what Chazal say, they understand it literally, they don't add any explanation. The only reason they do this, says the Rambam, is because they're foolish, and they don't know a lot about science. And they haven't attained enough knowledge that they should recognize on their own that you can't understand Chazal literally in everything they say. And they didn't find, no one aroused them to this point. And they think that whatever our sages said, however they understood it literally, that's all our sages meant. And they take whatever our sages say literally. And even though when you read what Chazal say, some of the things, if you understand them literally, they seem very strange. So much so that if you tell the average person, certainly the smart people, you tell them what Chazal say and you explain it literally, they'd be stunned. And people will tell you, the average person when he hears some of what Chazal say should react and say, how could it be that people entertain such a thought? How could you think that that's true? How could it doesn't make sense, and certainly it shouldn't find favor in your eyes. So the Rambam says, but some people go blindly. Whatever Chazal say, they take literally, they don't think twice, they don't think maybe there's a deeper meaning, and they go with it. Hamsukana, in this group which is dangerous, Rachmanuta Tzichlutam, I have mercy on their foolishness. They think that they're lauding our sages. They think they're giving extra covet to Chazal. But in truth, they're putting them down completely. When you take what Chazal say literally and say, that's the truth, no other way, that's the understanding, then you think you're praising Chazal, you're making them into fools. They don't even notice this. V'chai Hashem, I swear by Hashem, says the Rambam, ki akat azu me'abdim adat haTorah. I swear, he says, this group is getting, is losing the honor, the beauty of the Torah, u'machshechim za'ara, and they're making the light of the Torah dark. They make the Torah of Hashem the exact opposite of what Hashem meant. Hashem said about the wisdom of His Torah, Hashem said, we had in last week's parasha, whoever hears the laws of the Torah should be impressed and say, boy, what a smart Torah. When you take what Chazal say literally, and you quote it, and you say, yeah, that's what it is, no two ways about it. You know why there's an eclipse? There's an eclipse, depends, if it's a solar eclipse, means that bad things are going to happen to the nations. If it's a lunar eclipse, bad things are happening to us. Why is there an eclipse? Because a girl that was engaged was raped. Court didn't rule properly. So anyone that hears that says, wait a second, we could foresee eclipses. We know in advance when there's going to be an eclipse. You look at a calendar, you could see 10 years in advance there's going to be an eclipse. What do you mean that's why there's an eclipse? So you say, what do you mean? That's what the Gemara says. That's why there's an eclipse. So yeah, you read the Gemara. If you take it literally and you quote it literally, so people look at you foolishly. Say, what do you mean? How could it be that that's why there's an eclipse? That we know in advance. So you know in advance when courts are going to misjudge. So obviously that's not the correct understanding of the Gemara, even though that is the literal understanding of the Gemara. Yeah.
Also, the enemies of Israel use this a lot. I've seen numerous times where sources like quote Midrash as proof of the absurdity or like this or that, the failure.
Right. It's very easy to put down the Torah, and that's what the Rambam says. If you want to put down the Torah by taking things literally, so yeah. והקת הזו דורשים מפשטי דברי חכמים דברים אשר אם ישמעו מאמים יאמרו רק המסחל ונבל לגוי הקטן הזה. And the way these, what Yoshua just pointed out, the way they're quoting the words of our sages, anyone that hears it is going to say, this nation is a nation of fools, this nation is a nation of derelicts, this nation is a small, worthless nation. והרבה שעושים כן הדרשנים המבינים לעם. And many of the great speakers who try to get the nation riled up, so they speak this way to the people, because they don't know what they're talking about themselves. But they give good speeches and they get everyone riled up. So they quote Chazal literally. Says, if only they'd shut up, says the Rambam. Kivan she'inam mevinim, they don't understand themselves. If only you'd be silent, says the Rambam, that would be considered as though you were smart. It's in your best interest to be silent, like the Pasuk says in Mishlei, that if a fool is silent, people might still think he's smart. When he opens his mouth, then he clears all doubt. People think it was Mark Twain who said that, but really it's a pasuk in Mishlei. And this pasuk is Eov. Eov tells his friends. He says, you guys are making claims. If you would have been quiet, you would have at least, I would have still thought you were smart. At least they should have said, we don't know what Chazal say, mean in these words. Let's take an example. We did this last year. That everyone knows the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah to mix up the Satan. We blow shofar, the Satan will be confused, he won't be able to speak against us, he'll think Mashiach is coming, and that's why we blow shofar on Yom Kippur, that's why we blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So you read that and you ask yourself, what's going on? So you hear a lot of people and they'll insist and they'll say, no, that's what it says in the Gemara. The Gemara says the Satan gets confused. Every year the Satan gets confused. So last year when we had this class, I told you guys, I don't know what it means, but it doesn't mean what it says. There's got to be more to it than that. And then I felt very bad. I said, look, for years all I've heard is people giving speeches saying, quoting this Gemara literally, I never understood it, so I can't tell you to go down to the intellect of third graders. In third grade, you could read that Gemara and understand that it's meant literally. At our age, there must be a different understanding, and I don't have one. But I have to at least say that I don't understand. And then I was vindicated. I found Rav Chaim David HaLevi Zatzal, the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, in his Sefer Mekor Chaim on the Shulchan Aruch. He writes the exact same thing. He writes, the Rambam says, don't be a fool. If you don't understand, say you don't understand, but don't say that it means literally. So here that's an example. We're going to reach it. People might quote it literally, and they'll give you all kinds of things. Yeah, well, the Satan, Hashem made it, so he gets foolish. Maybe, but someone who could fool us all year long, who's so smart that he's one of Hashem's angels, it seems a little far-fetched to me. So I don't know what the Gemara means. But the Rambam says, at least, if you're going to quote Chazal, and you don't know what it means, say you don't know what it means. Don't say the literal understanding is the literal understanding. But the problem is, says the Rambam, that they themselves don't know they don't understand. They think they do understand. And they establish themselves to teach the nation what they themselves have mistakenly understood. Not what our sages really said. They teach the people the drashot and the Gemara and Brachos. The Gemara and Brachos tells us all kinds of fancy stories. The Gemara tells us, you know how many demons are sitting right next to you now? You know why your clothes wear down? Says the Gemara, a guy sitting in yeshiva, his clothes wear thin. He's not working out in the field. Why do his clothes wear thin? Because when he's sitting in this medrash, the demons come and they're jealous of him. So they sit next to him and they rub next to him. They wear him down. So it wears down his clothing. So you read that Gemara, you think, boy, Who's sitting next to me? Says the Rambam, yeah, if you quote Gemaras from the Gemara Brachas and you understand that literally things could get scary. The Gemara says, every person, alfa mi mine uvava mismale. A person has 1,000 on his right, 10,000 on his left. You have thousands of demons all around you. If you'd see them, you'd go crazy. God gave us a blessing, you can't see them. So you read that literally, okay, that's literal understanding. The Gemara says, you want to see them. Take a black cat, who's the firstborn to a mother who's a black cat, and kill it and burn it and take the ashes and put it in a metal tube and look at it and you'll be able to see all these demons. And Abaye's son did it and he went crazy and the rabbis had to pray to bring him back. So the Gemara says don't do it. And the Gemara gives a special formula if you're going to do it, how to do it, and hopefully you won't get damaged. So you could quote this Gemara and everyone hears it. And you said something that's EGBG and it's spooky, so now it sounds like you actually know what you're talking about and everyone gets scared. Says the Rambam, yeah, that's what the public speakers do. They quote these fanciful Gemaras, everyone gets excited, everyone gets riled up, and they don't know what they're talking about themselves. So the Rambam says also the Gemaras in Chelek, the Gemara also has all kinds of stories in Chelek, Vezulatam, Kipshutam, Ilav Mila. They quote these Gemaras literally. And that's the first group, and the Rambam says that's the majority of people. The majority of people think whatever Chazal said should be understood literally, and that's a mistake.
Isn't that a pagan thing, that ritual?
I don't know. You have to ask a pagan. I don't know. Now we have two options. Our class is supposed to continue for another 15 minutes, so we're going to finish the last two groups. The second group, Vakata Shnia, the second group, Gamhem Rabim. They're also in abundance. Do you guys want to continue to the second group, or do you want to do Dvar Torah on the Parsha? How many people want to continue? Yeah? How many people want Dvar Torah on the Parsha? Okay. They win. We'll continue. We could in the end, we'll add a Dvar Torah. Vakata Shnia, whoever wants to stay afterwards. Vakata Shnia, Gamhim Rabim, the second group is also, there are many of them. There are the people who heard our sages and they understood it literally. And they thought, can't be our sages meant the literal meaning. But it must be what the simple meaning is. And therefore they mocked what it says in Chazal. They thought that what Chazal said is strange. So we're in the middle of the Rambam. The Rambam said there are people, the second group of people, and there are also many of them, you see that today too, they hear what our sages say, and they think, oh, it means literally, and therefore they disgrace our sages. I was once sitting in shul, a guy walks into shul, and he tells the guy next to him, you know what I heard? There were rabbis who thought they were witches. There was one who even hung 70 of them. Oh, those fools. What? So, people sometimes hear what Chazal say, and they think they understand what they say, and they think therefore Chazal are stupid, and therefore they're willing to degrade them. So, this person happened to have been mocking what it says in the Torah. It happens to say in the Torah, Mechashefa lo tchaye.
Isn't that from the parsha though? To kill witches.
It says mechashefa lo tchaye. We have to know what that means. So people mock what our sages say frequently. Vechoshvim shehem yoter nevonim mehim. They think they are smarter than Chazal. Veyoter zechei rayon. They think their thought is clear. Veshehem aleim shalom ptayim. They think our sages are fools. Chesrei dat chalim bechol hamtziut. They have no knowledge and they're fools regarding everything. They think Chazal didn't understand anything. Most of the people who mess up on this are the people who think they are doctors. And people who think they understand constellations. The people who think they could explain what's going on in the stars. Now we know the Rambam happened to be an expert in both of these. I don't know. It's a good question.
He's talking about an intellectual bent, no?
What?
Like today you'd say doctors or scientists.
Right. It means the intellectuals. Yeah. They think, they consider themselves smart, chachamim filosofim, they consider themselves wise, they consider themselves philosophers, וכמה רחוקים הם מן האנושות אצל הפילוסופים האמיתיים, and how distant are they from mankind when it comes to true philosophers. We don't even consider them mankind, these people who consider themselves so smart. והם יותר שחלים מן הכת הראשונה, and they are more foolish, says the Rambam, than the first group, ויותר פתאים, and they are more simple. והם כת ארורה, they are a cursed group, שהתפרצו כלפי אנשים רמי המעלה, they've allowed themselves to burst against people who are on a high level, שכבר נודע חוכמתם אצל חכמים. Our sages, even smart people, recognize their wisdom. But these people allow themselves to think they're smarter than Chazal. ואילו הכשירו את עצמם במדעים עד שידעו איך כותבים את הדברים בעניינים אלוהיים וכיוצא בהם, if they would have only made themselves, prepared themselves to understand how we write things that are godly, וכיוצא בהם מן המדעים להמון ולחכמים, how we write them for the masses and for the wise people. Meaning, when you read Medrash, so most people thumb through the Medrash and read the stories. But in truth, you should read the introductions. The Shlah wrote an introduction to Medrash. And so did many of our sages. Medrash is the secret way of hiding many of the deep messages that our sages wanted to give over. And they hid it, they encased it in all kinds of stories. But in those stories are the secrets of understanding how Hashem runs the world. But they're secret. So to the masses, you hear a nice story. You want to understand what's behind the story, you have to have an introduction. You have to know how to read a Medrash. So the Rambam says these people, they haven't had an introduction. So they read what Chazal say, they don't know how to understand it. ויסגלו לעצמם את החלק המעשי של הפילוסופיה. They take to themselves practical philosophy. כי אז, if only they would have taken the introduction to understanding true wisdom of how what our sages said, כי אז היו מבינים אם החכמים חכמים או לאו. They could then discern whether our sages are really smart or not. והיו מובנים להם ענייני דבריהם. Then they would have understood what Chazal said. Now the Rambam is going to give us the third group, and the third group is the group that's very few, and the Rambam is going to say, if you're from the first two groups, then stop reading now. We have nothing to talk about. If you either are going to take everything Chazal say literally, or you're going to discard what our sages say, so close the book now. That's where the Rambam's headed. And that, God willing, we're going to read next week.
In both cases, you're taking it literally. What the sages
right,
say.
Right.
That's the problem.
Right. Rambam saying, don't take what Chazal say literally, but learn from Chazal how to understand it. Today we've reached a situation where we have another problem that the Rambam doesn't address, and that is people who think that what Chazal say must have a deeper meaning, and they give the deeper meaning. And they mistakenly give the deeper meaning. So Reform could say, oh, so the Torah says eat kosher. Oh, there must be a deeper meaning. It must be health. Today we know health better. So no more what the Torah says. So people have taken this concept that the Rambam gave us to Chazal and they've misused it. They've said we could understand the deeper meaning of the Torah, we could understand the deep meaning of Chazal, and therefore we rule, we say what should be done and what not. Okay. Okay, yeah. But Hecher Eloah Timtza, Eov was told. Do you think you'll really be able to discern to understand why Hashem did things? His friends told me, you can't understand Hashem fully. We try to understand. We can understand an extent. Like there was a Greek philosopher that said, Ilu yedativ hayitiv. If I understood Hashem, I'd be Hashem. Only Hashem could understand Hashem. The Rambam quotes it. It's not the Rambam. Yeah.
The Rav Sperling told us what because we were having a discussion about Midrash. He told us about a group. The whole group that came along said, it's all, not only the Midrash, it's all symbols, so is the Torah. And so, I forget the name of the Rav, he came out very strong. He wrote a whole book about understanding Midrash, specifically.
I don't know.
A few hundred years ago.
I don't know. So, what we're going to continue with, the Rambam is going to give us the third group, which basically is much closer to the truth. And then the Rambam is going to lead us to the truth and understanding what did our sages mean, what is the world to come, what is Tchiyat HaMitim, how is the breakdown, that, God willing, will continue next week, and I think the week after that will continue. Next week, stay posted. I have a Pidyon HaBen. I don't know yet if we will have a class and when we will have a class. So look at the signs. And the Emil Tashem, we're all